want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is How to Win a Brother Over. It is from the series of things that Jesus taught. This message is based on command number 30, go to your offender. We pray it is a blessing to your life.
How many of you know Jesus had a lot of wisdom? He knew how to do things. He knew everything about men. He knows how to get people to respond the way they, at least give them the best chance to respond the way they should. But a lot of things that Jesus taught, you know, many times it goes against our nature. In fact, when you go through and you look at these commands, you look at the things Jesus taught, the kingdom keys, you'll find that it goes against your nature. And that's why, you know, he taught first and foremost, before everything else, he taught what? Repent, which means change your mind. So when he confronts us with some of the teaching that he gave us, immediately your flesh wants to rise up and say, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. And so you have to go back to repent, to change your way of thinking and realize something's making me feel this way. And so I know it's not coming from you, God, but I want to change my way of thinking to think like you. I repent. I acknowledge that my thinking's wrong here and I want to go a different direction. So this is one of those things of all of the teachings of the kingdom keys and the commands. This one here is really, really tough for a lot of people. This is based on Jesus' command to go to those who have offended you or hurt you, or it's not just offended or hurt, it's sinned against you, because that's what it says in the scripture. And he wants us to do it in the right way and with the right motive. And I want to tell you, this is a lesson that is for everybody, no matter how young you are, and no matter how old you are. This is a lesson we all need to know. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you. Now, let me just stop right there and say, he is talking specifically about your brother. Now, of course, he's not just talking about a biological brother, although that could be the case, but he's talking about your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ. He's talking about within the body of Christ or the family of God. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Now, we don't have any problem usually with pointing out somebody's fault, right? Amen. But he says, do this just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. So this is what we're talking about tonight. How to win a brother over. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been offended? Have you ever been sinned against? Has anybody ever done something that was, you knew it was a sin against you and it hurt? Well, here's the thing I want you to understand before we even go any further with this teaching. Before you decide to go and rebuke somebody because they offended you, you better make sure that you notice what Jesus said, and that it is that they sinned against you. You better make sure that you approach them with a rebuke only if you know that he has or she has really sinned against you according to the Word of God. Now hear me, that's important. Because if not, you're going to be tempted to just go tell people off because, you know, they did this and they did that and they hurt your feelings and they offended you. And how many of you have ever had somebody offended at you and you know you hadn't done anything wrong, but they still offended at you? Anybody, has that ever happened? Right? So a lot of times what happens is we don't see this the way Jesus said it, but we see it as they hurt my feelings or they hurt me. So I have a right, according to Jesus, I have a right to go rebuke them. But you better make sure that what they did was sin against you. As a pastor, this happens. We've had people over the years say ugly things and be mad at us and offended at us. And we don't even know why, but they're going around telling everybody else that they offended at us and so on and so forth. And our question is always this. what sin have we done against you? Have we sinned against you in some way? Usually, no, it has nothing to do with sin. It has to do with they didn't get their way, or they didn't like the way something was said, or the tone it was said with, or so on and so forth, but it wasn't a sin. Everybody understand? So you got to know before you even get into this that this only applies to people within the body of Christ. It don't mean that you go out to the world and start telling everybody out in the world how they hurt you, because you're not going to win anybody to Christ in that way. But within the body of Christ, if the person has sinned against you, then Jesus says, go to them and let them know. Go rebuke them in a sense. But you still have to do that in the right way. So you need to go to God first and find out, ask the Lord to show you how he sees it. Father, did they really sin against me, or did they just hurt my feelings? Because I had some kind of expectation that they didn't live up to. Hear me, that's important. Most of the time when we get offended, it's not because they sinned against us. It's because we had an expectation of them that we really didn't have any right to have. Everybody understand? And they didn't meet our expectation, so our feelings are hurt. Well, they invited them to dinner, but they didn't invite me to dinner. Well, they didn't sin against you. Did you invite them to dinner? So here's the point. We can get our feelings hurt over all kind of things. Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand this morning. I'm leaving that church. Well, was that a sin? Could be that the preacher had a lot of things on his mind. And it could be that you got out of here too fast. I couldn't get to you. And it could be that somebody came and caught me up where I couldn't get out to you. Just could be, right? But it wasn't a sin. Okay, so I'm giving you little silly examples because people get offended over silly things. That's not what Jesus said. He's not giving you permission to go and rake somebody over the coals because they didn't meet your expectation or they didn't do what you thought they should do. Okay, it has to do with sin. So really when it comes down to that particular situation, the one who sinned is not the one you're accusing. The one who sinned is you when you're being selfish in that way, okay? All right, make sure that what they've done is sin. You got to make sure, again, it's not just a feeling, because you can't trust your feelings. And understand that it wasn't just a one-time thing. You know, as long as there are other people in your life, you're going to be offended in some way or another. And some people really are going to sin against you. They're going to do things that are sin against you. And so you need to know that if you're going to be alive, you're going to have that happen from time to time. And it's difficult when you're offended by an enemy. That's already bad. But when you're offended or hurt by somebody that's close to you, by a brother or a sister in Christ especially, that's when it's really tough. You know, David, in Psalm chapter 55, verse 12 through 14, he said, if an enemy were insulting me, I can endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked along with the throng at the house of God. He's talking about people that I went to church with, I fellowshiped with. Now listen, I've been in this for a long time, been in church most of my life and pastoring for a good portion of my life. And so believe you me, there's been a lot of those feelings of hurt over the years that if we didn't learn how to take that and put that at the foot of the cross, it would have destroyed us. Okay. And you've experienced that too if you've been a Christian for very long. Because how many of you know that God's still working on folks? That just because they go to church don't mean that they got it all together, right? He's working on them just like he's working on you, just like he's working on me. So we're going to get offended throughout life, but nothing is worse than when that offense comes from someone really close to you, a church member or even a close friend or even a natural brother or sister. So another question to consider is this. Have you ever offended someone that you love? I think that's what we really have to get to. When I decide that I'm going to get all upset because I got offended, because I got hurt, what I need to ask myself is, Have I ever hurt somebody? And what do you think the answer is going to be? Yes. So we can't just only focus on the offenses that we've suffered, which is what we typically want to do, but we need to understand that we've also been an offense to someone else. And we've walked on both sides of that street. Now, let's look at the first main point. Jesus gave us a mandate for reconciliation. A mandate. That means a directive, a rule, a command for reconciliation. And he told us, in fact, this was the command number 30, is what we're really talking about, was to go to your offenders. The NIV says it a little different way. It said to, you know, to go to those who have sinned against you. And it's closely related to command number 6, which is to be reconciled. So there's three of these. There's another one that talks about a forgive those who have hurt you. So some of these commands are very closely tied together, but there's just little different nuances in them. So Matthew 5:24 tells us that if our brother has aught against us, to be reconciled and clear our conscience and restore fellowship before we worship. So what we're talking about tonight is if we have aught against them, they've hurt us. But the same principles apply. God wants a reconciliation, right? And he says to do it before you even worship. Now, in the last command, which we already dealt with in number 6, when we dealt with that one, we have to realize that God is even concerned about the fact that they have offense in their heart, and we want to do our part to relieve them of the offense that's in their heart. Because if we don't do that, that offense could stay there and turn into a deep root of bitterness, which could cause their destruction. So that's why he wants us to do it. But at the same time, he loves us too, and he doesn't want us to end up with a deep root of bitterness that's going to cause our destruction and those around us. So in both commands, whether we're the one who's been offended or whether we've caused the offense, we are to take the initiative here. We're the ones who are supposed to take the first step. And we're supposed to go to our brother and seek reconciliation. And I want you to understand, it's not a choice. It's a command that he's telling us to do it. When we're offended by another believer, our natural inclination is to wait for that offender to come to us and make it right. Am I right? The natural inclination is, well, when they don't want to get it right, they got to tell me I'm sorry, right? But Jesus says, if you do that, they may never come. And there may end up being a huge loss of potential here. So he's saying, you're going to have to take the initiative, child of God. You have to take the initiative one way or the other. Now, understand, he's talking about two believers. So really, both believers, if there's nothing going on, that means that neither one of those believers are obeying Christ. So he's saying it from both sides. So both ought to be trying to get over there and bring reconciliation. But either way, somebody makes a move. So in our natural mind, that's how it should work. That people, they need to come to us now and say, I'm sorry. But this is a sign, really, this is a sign of pride and resentment. And we may try to forgive, and we may try to hold back feelings of hurt and anger and resentment. But the Bible tells us in James 3:8 that we have a tongue that no man can tame. And what's going to happen is that tongue is going to talk. It's going to show what's in the heart. Everybody understand that? Anybody ever had that issue? What's in there, you can hold it back for a while, but in the right situation or circumstance, it's coming out. What's in the heart is going to come out. So the hurt that is in our heart is going to come out of our mouth, whether we realize it or not. Our own soul is so self-focused that when we repeat that offense to another brother or sister, our report is usually going to be distorted. It's going to be magnified, and it's going to be slanted a little bit in our favor. Am I right? And if not, then y'all don't know how to do this right. So when we tell someone else about the offense, according to the scripture, we violated Jesus' command in Matthew 18:15, because we're to go to them directly. Now, there is a time, and he talks about it after this, where once you do that, then you take further steps and you get other people involved. But when it comes to just a personal offense, you have to be careful that you don't allow that to be in your heart, because it's going to dampen the anointing upon your life. It's going to dampen your ability to minister the way God called you to be. And all of us are called to be ministers. Now, I need to clarify something while we're at it. There have been times, for instance, and I'm not going to use any names, there have been times as a pastor Because when you add authority in there, and you add there is a shepherd that has to watch over sheep, and part of the shepherd's responsibility is to look out for wolves. But I understand that. And so there are times when people are trying to do harm to the body of Christ, whether they intend to or not. And I want you to understand, from our standpoint as pastors, that we have to stand before God for everything we say and do. So we want to make sure that with us, it's not a personal thing with people, but there are times when we may have to expose things to protect the flock. Does everybody understand that? You may have to expose the wolf to protect the flock. So that doesn't mean that we should just go around smearing anybody's name, but we have a responsibility from time to time to warn people about those who are wolves. Everybody get that? Everybody understand that? So there's a difference. That's not slandering. That's protecting the flock the way God called us to do as a shepherd. But if you're not a shepherd, then that doesn't count for you. Everybody understand? Okay. Now, as a shepherd of your family, if you have children, well, then of course you have to warn your children about others who mean to do them harm. Okay. It's the same principle. Okay. So that's not what we're talking about here tonight, but we're talking about on a peer level kind of a thing. All right. So you can be sure that that negative report, by the way, is going to find its way back to that offender. And then it's going to be even harder now to bring reconciliation because it's an unscriptural reaction. And his guilt will be relieved when maybe the Holy Spirit could have been working on that person because of what they did. And instead of praying for them that God would reveal his heart to them and that God would bless them and that God would draw them close to him, when we do it the wrong way, now we bring more offense. They harden their heart even more. And we keep that person from coming to the place of repentance to where you might actually win a brother. But if you do it Jesus' way, it's the best chance you have to win a brother over. Okay? Everybody understand that? So you need to remember that the tongue always reveals the heart. And the more we focus on the offender, the more in bondage we become and the freer that offender is. And they justify themselves because they can say, well, you're a gossip, right? So number two, second main point is this. The test of spirituality. It's a test of spirituality. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Everybody say gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, let me back up here. That word gently, it's using that word. It doesn't just mean in a soft way, but it means in a constructive way. The word gently actually in the Greek has a connotation of building up. In other words, when you're doing it, do it in a way that is constructive, not destructive. In a way that strengthens their life, not rips their life to pieces. Now, how many of you know we can feel justified when people hurt us? And we can feel justified to just tear those people to shreds. Amen? We can justify ourselves. So the scripture tells us, though, be careful, watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, that can mean two things. That can mean you could be tempted to fall into the same sin that they fell into because you're allowing their influence into your life, and maybe you're not spiritually at a point where you can hold off from that. But it also could be that you fall into the temptation to get a root of bitterness in your heart like they have. Everybody understand that? That's probably the worst temptation that you can fall into. So it says try to restore them in a constructive way, but you better watch yourself because you yourself could be tempted. You yourself could fall into this offense. Well, our natural man doesn't want reconciliation. What does our natural man want? It starts with a R-E. Revenge. Our natural man always wants revenge. When someone offends us, our natural man would really like for God to go ahead and just slap them around a little bit, right? Like Pastor Mike says, at least give them diarrhea for 6 weeks, something like that. When we get offended and we react in the natural man, we want to make them pay for what they did. We want to make sure that they don't get away with it, right? Everybody understand that? I can tell you, I understand what that's like. I've said it many times, just being honest before God, before you, before God, I've said many times, but God, I can't believe they're going to get away with this. This wasn't just me. They're hurting other people. I can't believe they're going to get away with it, right? So this is where you go back to the other teaching about don't ever get on a high horse. You know, you got to stay in humility. God knows better than we do. The word says, we which are spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness. And meekness means power under control. It means that I have the ability because I am right. How many of you know that when you're right, when they have come against you, that you now have the advantage because wickedness has come against righteousness. And according to the scripture, that wickedness is going to be punished. So you have the advantage. Okay. But we have to restore them in the spirit of meekness. That means I have the power to bring destruction, but instead I'm going to bring construction. Okay. That's important. It's very important. We need to understand. That's why Jesus said to pray for those who come against you, who despise you, who hurt you, who do all these horrible things and persecute you. Pray for them. Why? Because they've messed with a child of God. And when they mess with a child of God, they're going to have consequences. So our job is to not wish revenge on them. Our job is to pray, God, have mercy on them. Show yourself real to them. Bring conviction to their heart. Bless them, Father. Amen? That's what our supernatural reaction is going to be. But our natural reaction is we want them to get what they got coming. Amen? And we want to help if we can. And if we can't do it ourselves, at least let me know when it's going to happen so I can get some popcorn and watch it. Amen? So it's got to be done in a spirit of meekness. That means even though you have the strength, you're going to do it in a way that doesn't bring harm. The spirit of meekness really is knowing the truth about how I really am, also when no one else is around. Because it comes down to this fact, as we said early on, yeah, they hurt me, but you know what? There's been lots of people I've hurt too. Meekness is accepting the fact of who I am apart from Christ. It's realizing who I am and remembering that while I was yet a sinner, Christ still died for me. It's a thing that helps me more than anything else. Over the years, as I picture Jesus on that cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I've said it many times before, but could not even conceive that he was saying they don't know what they're doing because it's obvious they knew what they were doing. They were killing him. They were crucifying him. They were cursing him and spitting on him. They knew exactly what they were doing, but only in the natural. They didn't know what they were doing in the spiritual. They really had no idea because they were deceived. And so that helps me. When people come against a child of God, especially if it's another child of God, they've fallen into deception. They don't really know what they're doing, even though it looks like it. Amen? And if Jesus could go through what he was going through, taking a brutal beating and all of the horror and all of the stuff that was happening to him, that anything we've gone through can't even compare to that. And if he in the middle of that could say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, then I certainly can take that approach. Amen? Especially since I have the same Holy Spirit living in me. So let's talk about the third main point here, the steps for reconciliation. Remember, we're talking about how to win a brother over. Number three, steps for reconciliation. Step one is this. Remember that in going to your brother, the goal is not to rehearse the offense, but to restore the offender to fellowship with you and the body of Christ. Because how many of you know that if you're going to go to somebody who's hurt you, who's sinned against you, you might have the temptation to just lay it all out and give them every little detail about how they hurt you, right? I don't know about y'all, but I want them to know what they did. Amen? Okay, so every little detail, when they've done some hurt to me, I want to line it out for them. This is what you did, and this is how you hurt me. And so the point is not going to tell them about all the things they did wrong and give them every little detail and rehearse it and open that wound again. The point of going to them is to restore fellowship. The point of going to them is to restore them back to the body of Christ if it's caused them to stumble outside of that. And again, it's not to rehearse an offense, but it's to restore the offender. And if you don't have that in your heart from the beginning, don't even bother going. It's not going to do you any good. Everybody understand that? Okay? Now, step two, now brace yourself here, is when you go to them, not only do you have to go with the right motive, the right heart, But then you listen, this is the hard part. When you know they've done something wrong to you, they hurt you, you got to be willing to ask them, is there anything that I've done to offend you? And you know what? You may not feel like you've offended them at all. You may feel like you hadn't done anything wrong to them at all. And you have to be able to hold back without blurting it all out and telling them all the things that they did to you. But yet, you're about to give them a chance to do that exact thing to you. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about going and having a spirit of humility and a spirit of meekness. That means dead to yourself. That means more concerned about the person who offended you than you are about yourself. Now, how many of you know that ain't natural? That's what? Supernatural. That's right. Is there anything I have done to offend you? And you know what? They are more than likely going to take that opportunity to unload on you and tell you every horrible thing that they perceive that you possibly have done. And here's going to be the real test to not react to that. Because how many of you know that our first reaction is we're going to want to defend ourselves? Am I right? I know y'all don't like this, but this is good for us, okay? I'm telling you, this is what Jesus taught. And it goes against everything that seems natural. Everything. You're going to have to be careful not to get into a reaction. I was sharing with somebody the other day. Again, I'm not going to mention any names, but it was a couple that were having some issues. And I told them, I said, listen, the hardest thing in the world for you at this moment is to understand that you're going to have to sit down and talk this thing through. And the hardest part is to be able to talk it through without getting your feelings hurt and reacting and blowing up and anger and everything. Because how many of you know the natural thing to do when you get hurt like that or you feel attacked in some way is to get angry? But if you don't stop reacting, you're never going to get through it. So my question was this, do you want the marriage to work or not? If you don't, then don't even worry about it because it ain't working too good right now anyway. So just don't do anything and you'll get your wish. But if you want it to work, then you're going to have to discipline your own flesh, let the Spirit of God rise up, and you're going to have to somehow be able to get through this thing without just reacting to each other and hurt. Now, married folks understand what that's about because it happens. Because nothing hurts worse than people who are married and are closer to each other than anybody else. Nothing hurts worse than that when they hurt each other. So it's hard not to react, okay? But it's the same kind of situation. You can't get into a reaction. Remember that going to an offender and pride is going to, listen, it's going to set you up for a reaction. And if you can't go as a dead man or a dead woman and understand that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, and I'm going to let Christ handle this because the way I handle it ain't going to be good, right? So that's what he's really talking about. He also mentioned that when you go to them privately. Don't try to humiliate them publicly in front of everybody. He said very specifically, go to just them, go to them alone. Go to them privately and do it in humility. And if you'll do that, although it's not natural, it can set up restoration. For clarity, it's a good idea that when they do tell you all the things that you've done wrong, you may or may not agree with it. I mean, I found out just the other day, somebody said something about from years and years ago. I don't know what they're offended about or whatever, but they told somebody that know us, they said, well, you know, we got over it and we forgave them. I said, forgave who? They forgave us. And I remember back that situation, and I'm honestly, on the inside, it made me mad. I wanted to rise up and say, hey, I ain't done nothing wrong to them people. They got nothing to forgive, right? So I can either stay in the flesh with that, or else I can put it at the throne room, put it at the foot of the throne now, not just the cross, and I can say, Lord, you're bigger than all of this stuff, and I'm just going to choose to love them. So as I was getting ready for this, of course, I was probing my own heart and memories and everything else and praying for some folks. And you know, I'm not going to tell you it was easy, but you know, I had to press through and say, God, bless them anyway. I'm asking you to bless them. I'm asking you to prosper them. I'm asking you to prosper their families. I'm asking you to bless them in every way possible. Lord, please, please don't let them waste their life and their potential. God, show yourself real to them. And as I began to do that, I could feel stuff break off. Now, I didn't even know it was there till I started probing. So you need to understand that they're going to say things to you that maybe you're not even aware you did or said, or maybe it wasn't intentional, but they took it that way. And so you have to be willing to allow them to let you know what it is that hurt them. And then for clarity, repeat it back to them just to make sure that we get it all clear. So what you're saying is you feel that I did this, 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 or this. And if they will allow you to, and then you can keep your cool and do it the right way, if they will allow you to, you could explain your perspective and explain your true motives. Now, they may not even want to listen to that. And if not, then all you can do is just simply say, you know, I've had to grow up a lot myself over the years, and I'm sorry if I've done anything to hurt you. We can do that, right? And for some of you who are, you're still really young, you got a lot of living left to do. You're going to have to operate in this at some point in your life, but it's best to start when you're young so you're not building up all that offense and all of that stuff in your heart all the time. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says that if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So again, it says, as far as it depends on you. How many of you know sometimes it's not possible to live at peace with everyone? Because some people don't want peace. But when you stand before God, what you have to answer for is, did you do your part to bring peace? If you didn't do your part to bring peace, then you've not done everything that you can do to win that brother over. Okay? So if it's possible, that means sometimes it's not. After you listen to what they have to say, again, explain from your side of the table what you did and your motive, but be careful that when you do that, you're not justifying yourself. Because if you start trying to justify yourself for something that hurt them, then you're just going to open this thing up once again. Okay? So remember, again, it's about winning a brother over. It's not about showing who's right. Okay? Now, the important thing is for them to be restored to the body of Christ. Now, step three really is just a scripture. If you go to them and you do all of these things and you try to have reconciliation and they don't want to hear it, they don't want to listen, then you go to the next step. Matthew 18:16. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, again, this is talking about within the body of Christ. This is not talking about people out in the world. This is in the body of Christ. And in other words, really for this to work appropriately, it would have to be people in the same church. Everybody understand? Because you can't go dragging them before their church, right? So you have to understand that sometimes you can't do anything about it. They out there doing their thing, all you can do is when you run into them, you treat them with love and respect. Amen? What does apply is that you still have to forgive them no matter where they live and no matter where they go to church or if they go to church or not. So it says, if he will not listen, take one or two others along, that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And this doesn't mean that now you're going to blab all of your side to everything and you're going to get people all mad at them and, boy, we're going to go show them, you know, they didn't listen to you, but I'm going to bring my slack now. That ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about go and bring a couple of people, and it would have to be people who have integrity, and it would have to be people who truly are honoring to God in their life and who truly love that brother or that sister the way the Lord loves them. And it's still not to go and accuse, but it's to go and you trying to bring reconciliation, and hopefully they can help with that and they can kind of mediate if need be. Okay? Now, understand, they still may not repent, but it's really not about that. It's about you obeying Christ. Now, I want you to notice what it said. Before you go to those others, you go to them first. Amen? You have to be careful, because when we get hurt, we look for agreement. We want agreement. Even though we may be right, we could be embittering somebody else against a person, and then that person repents. And as Pastor Mike has taught us, that person repents, and there's grace for me now because they offended me. But the person who's now taken on my offense and they had nothing to do with it, there's no grace for them to get over it. So that's why you don't include other people in your hurt. When people hurt you, you go to that person first. And then when you do bring it to other people, you bring it in the right spirit. Not so that you can hurt that person, but because you want reconciliation. And look, we might be able to fool people, but we can't fool God. He knows what's in the heart, right? So it's about you obeying Christ. And step four, Matthew 18:17, God loves them so much This isn't about, well, if they don't do it this time, then I'm going to go get somebody else. And if that don't work, I'm really going to expose them in front of everybody. That's not what he's talking about. What I see here is Jesus is saying, I want to give them every opportunity possible to get right. I want to give them every opportunity possible to repent and to have reconciliation. Matthew 18:17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now, I believe in telling it to the church, he's talking about bringing it to the authority of the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, what does that mean? Well, I used to think that meant, well, that's it. Fine. Now, they don't want to get it right. That's fine. So they're just going to be like an old pagan or a tax collector. But then we have to come back around to the fact that who did Jesus bring us to this world to reach? So now what he's saying is you no longer treat them as someone in the church, but now you treat them as someone outside of the church, which is what? You pray for them. You pray that God would save them. You pray that God would move in their heart. Now, if this is somebody who just absolutely refuses to repent, then there's a good possibility that maybe they weren't really saved in the first place. So he's saying, now you treat them as the ones I came to die on a cross to save. And don't forget that. He's not saying, you know, just wipe them away. No, he's saying, treat them as somebody who is in the world who don't want to repent. Listen, think about it. Jesus' disciples, Matthew, who's writing this, which is kind of interesting. Matthew's writing this. Matthew was what? A tax collector. So Matthew understands this because Matthew, I promise you, was very thankful that Jesus looked into his life as an old crooked tax collector and said, I want to use you for my kingdom purposes. Come and follow me. He's not giving us an opportunity at any time to just write them off. Now, we know according to other scriptures as well that there are times when we do have to put up a wall. There are times when the Bible says, expel them from the fellowship. Have nothing to do with them. But that doesn't mean stop praying for them. That doesn't mean, listen, that doesn't mean that you wish ill on them, that you wish evil on them. It means that now you desperately pray for them as though their soul is lost, because it very well may be. All right, let's look at the main point number 4, healing your wounds. Because one way or the other, whether you get reconciliation with them or not, you still have some hurts of your own. Okay, anybody ever been hurt? We all have. Now, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says this, kind of a strange scripture. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, remember, we're talking about people who are close to us, who have hurt us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, it doesn't say that the friend was faithful, right? Because they weren't faithful, obviously. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. When we hear the word wounds, we think of blood and guts and hurt and stitches and so on and so forth. The word says, faithful are the wounds, not of an enemy or of a casual person, but the wounds of a friend, the wounds of a family member. The wounds of an offender can be neutralized by words of blessing from the offended. So those wounds are going to, if you will allow God to use it, those wounds are going to produce something in you that is going to cause your compassion to be deeper than it ever possibly could have been for those who've been wounded the same way. We identify with Christ by speaking blessings over the lives of those who have offended us. And as we begin to do that, then our own wounds begin to heal. And God gets to redeem that time, because now it becomes a testimony of God's grace in our life and how He brought us through. And we can help somebody who thinks that they're not going to make it through when they're going through it, because they don't have the same strength that you have. They don't have the same relationship, maybe, that you have with the Lord. So, on the other hand, if we receive the offense and we just justify ourselves, then we identify with the divider. We identify with the accuser and the devil himself. So, again, it's up to us. It seems strange that the way we would get healing from somebody that hurt us would be to ask God to bless them. Because the last thing we want naturally is for God to bless them. What we want God to do is whoop their behind, right? Just doesn't seem right. But if we want healing for ourselves, then that's what it takes. And then let's look at main point number 5, and that is, in all of this stuff, we have to discover our own motives. In the midst of all of this, our own motives get uncovered. Now, Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, one of probably the hardest example I can imagine is, you know, I've seen videos of families whose maybe a loved one had been murdered. And of course, justice is there for a reason. The law is there for a reason. And I don't have a problem whatsoever with justice being done in an earthly realm. Even the death penalty, according to the scripture, is ordained by God in Romans chapter 13. But the sad thing about it all is, even though a person may have justice, the people I really feel sorry for are the ones who are sitting around watching this person go to their death, and they're rejoicing, and all of the hatred and the vitriol coming out of their mouth, and, you know, I hope you rot in hell and stuff like that. Those are the people I feel sorry for, because they have now been so embittered, and it doesn't seem fair that that person who's about to get a lethal injection and go into eternity could have come to Christ and repented of their sin before Christ. And those people who were so victimized could split hell wide open because they refused to forgive. Now, is it possible to forgive that person and still be okay with justice happening? Absolutely. If it's justice. Okay? And that's not an easy thing for people to be able to do. They'll struggle with that, because it's such a hurtful thing when someone does something so wicked and so evil. But I want to tell you, God doesn't have a problem with justice, but He does have a problem with bitterness and unforgiveness. And so it's a hard thing to try to minister to people, but they desperately need it when they've been through something like that. So faithful are the wounds of a friend, because we get introduced to who we really are. When those wounds happen, our true motives, our true nature. Let me say it a different way. It lets us know how dead we are or aren't. Amen? And if I'm a born-again Christian, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in us. So, I don't know about you, but there's been a few times I've been introduced to who I really am. And I didn't like meeting myself. Anybody else? All right. Listen, many times I want to tell you, it doesn't look good when we're introduced to ourselves. And we can take the Word of God and we can use it on others, or we can take the Word of God and we can use it as a mirror to show us ourselves. And I think it's very easy to use that Word of God to expose others, but what God wants to do more than anything else is expose us. Not because He's mad at us, not because He wants to embarrass us, but because He wants to free us, because He wants to give us liberty, because He wants us to experience life like we've never had it. And you know what? You cannot do anything to ruin a humble man's day. You just can't do it. The main point 6, the ministry of reconciliation. Let's talk about that a little bit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And then right after that, He says it again for the second time, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is all about not counting men's sins against them. How can you and I preach a message of reconciliation? How can we bring a message of reconciliation to people who desperately need to be reconciled with God if we ourselves can't be reconciled to them? So He's letting us know, this is our ministry. This is our calling. This is what we live to do. And you can't reconcile men to God when you won't reconcile to men yourself. Scripture is very clear on this. We don't have to go to divinity school or Bible college or even read Ephesians and fast and pray and memorize Scripture. You don't have to do any of that stuff to really understand this. Either you have the ministry of reconciliation or you have no part in Christ. God pulled a fast one on us there. If we're going to be able to reconcile people to God, then we have to practice being reconciled ourselves to others. Amen. Now, I almost hate to preach this kind of stuff, because now I got to live it or I'm a hypocrite. So He came not to condemn even His enemies, but he came to reconcile everyone to the body of Christ. Everyone.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.